title, Stereo Width for Pads and FX from Scratch using Session View Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. Today we're building Stereo Width, the drum and bass way, wide, futuristic, immersive but with the center staying absolutely solid so your kick, snare, and sub still hit like a weapon. The big idea is simple. In rolling DNB, width is not something you just crank everywhere. It's contrast. It's arrangement. It's paint the walls with pads and FX, while the low end stays laser focused in mono. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a little width lab inside Ableton Live Session View, a pad track, an FX Atmos track, a few return tracks that act like your width faders, and a scene workflow where your intro can be wide, your drop can be tighter, your break can be huge, and your build can widen on purpose. Let's set it up from scratch. First, set your tempo to a DNB range, 172 to 176 BPM. Pick something like 174 so it feels instantly in the pocket. Now create your tracks. Make a MIDI track called PAD. Make an audio track called FX Atmos. Optionally, add an audio track called Drum Bus just so you can reference where your drums sit while you widen things around them. Then create three return tracks. Return A, short verb. Return B, wide verb. Return C, ping delay. And here's a crucial habit. On each return track, put a utility device at the very end. That utility is your safety and your quick control. It lets you trim gain, control width, and if things go weird, you can collapse it to mono fast. Let's build return first. Short verb. This is blue. It's not supposed to scream reverb. It's supposed to make everything feel like it lives in the same space. Drop hybrid reverb on return A. Choose a room or a small plate. Set decay somewhere like 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds. High cut around 7 to 10 kHz. Low cut around 200 to 400 hz. We're keeping it clean because DNB is fast. And long messy low-end reverb will smear your groove. Now at the end, that utility, set width to around 120%. Not crazy. And bring the return level so it's subtle. You want to miss it when it's gone, not notice it when it's on. Return B, wide verb. This is your cinematic width return. Hybrid reverb again, but now choose plate or hall. Set decay around 2.5 to 5 seconds. Pre-delay 25 to 45 milliseconds. And really pay attention here. Low cut 250 to 600 hz. In DNB, wide reverb low mids are one of the fastest ways to destroy clarity. End utility, width somewhere like 140 to 170%. Optionally, enable bass mono around 150 hz. Think of bass mono here not just as sub protection, but as low mid lock. It stops your warmth from wobbling around the stereo field. Return C, ping delay. Drop echo, set it to ping pong. Sync time to 1/8 or 1/4. Feedback 25 to 45%. Add a tiny bit of modulation, like 2 to 6%, just enough to keep it alive. Filter the delay so it sits behind the drums, high pass around 250 to 500 hz, and low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. End utility, width around 150%. And remember, ping pong delay gets messy fast. If it starts stepping on the snare, it's too loud or too bright. Cool, returns are set. And honestly, this is already a big mixing mindset shift. Instead of making your source super stereo and unstable, you keep the source more reliable and let the returns carry the width. Easier to automate, easier to mono check, and way more controllable in a busy drop. Now let's build the pad. On the PAD MIDI track, load an instrument. Waveatable is a great choice for modern airy pads. Set oscillator 1 to a saw-like shape. Add unison, but don't go wild. 2 to 4 voices is plenty. Detune around 10 to 20%. Add a low-pass filter, like LP24. Set cutoff somewhere between about 300 hz and 2 kHz depending on how dark you want it. Add a little drive if you want some edge. Then shape the amp envelope. Slower attack, like 30 to 120 milliseconds. Release around 1.5 to 4 seconds. This is DNB, so you want smoothness, but you still want the groove to breathe. If your release is too long, it'll smear across the bar lines. Now write a chord clip in Session View. Make it 4 bars. Keep it techie and minor. You don't need a jazz chord dissertation here. 2 to 3 notes per chord is perfect. And here's a rule. Keep pad fundamentals mostly above C3. Do not fight the sub. Your bass lives down there, and it needs to own that space. Once you've got a simple 4-bar chord loop, let's build the width chain on the pad. First device, utility, and think of this as your stereo start and gain staging. Set width to 100% initially. We'll automate it later. Next, EQ8. Turn on M/S mode. This is where you start thinking like a mix engineer instead of a button pusher. We're going to decide what lives in the mid and what lives in the sides. In the mid channel, at a high pass around 120 to 250 Hz, choose 12 or 24 dB per octave depending how heavy the pad is. This is how you keep the mono center clear for kick, snare body, and bass harmonics. Now go to the side channel, high pass even higher, around 200 to 400 Hz. This is a massive DNB move. Wide low mids are the enemy of punch. If you want the track to feel wide without going soft, keep the width up higher. Optional. On the sides, at a gentle high shelf, like plus 1 to 2 dB above 6 to 10 kHz, just for air. The idea is wide fizz, not wide mud. Next device, Chorus Ensemble. Keep it controlled, amount around 15 to 30%. Rate slow, like 0.15 to 0.40 Hz. Spread around 80 to 120%. If you start hearing facey swirl, back off amount and spread. In DNB, chorus is powerful, but it can also turn your pad into something that disappears in mono. Then add auto pan, but not like a helicopter effect. Subtle stereo animation. Set it to sync. Try rate at 1/2 bar or 1 bar, amount 10 to 25%, phase 90 to 180 degrees. Use a smooth sine shape. What you're going for is movement that feels like life, not movement that feels like the plugin is doing a trick. Now send this pad to the returns. Short verb a little bit, wide verb a bit more, ping delay to taste. If you want starting points, think short verb around minus 18 to minus 12 dB, wide verb around minus 15 to minus 9, and ping delay somewhere like minus 18 to minus 10 depending on the vibe. Finally, last device on the pad, another utility. This is your final control and safety. Set width somewhere like 120 to 160%, dart around 130, then enable bass mono around 120 to 180 Hz, and I'll say it again because it matters. Don't be afraid to set bass mono higher for pads and effects than you would for a bass track. Pads often have warmth around 120 to 250 Hz that can smear your center. Lock it down. Here is your checkpoint. On that final utility, toggle width between 0% and about 150% while the pad plays. At 0%, it should still sound like a pad, just narrower. If it collapses into something hollow or vanishes, you've got too much phase-based stereo from chorus, auto pan, or overlay stereo reverb. Dial back chorus amount first, then auto pan, and rely more on returns for width. Now let's build the FX Atmos track. On FX Atmos, drop in audio, vinyl noise, field recordings, restales, cymbal washes, jungle ambience, little one shots. This track is your air and environment. In a drop, it should be felt more than heard. Add an EQ8 first. High pass somewhere between 200 and 600 Hz depending on the content. If it's harsh, dip around 2 to 5 kHz. That zone is often where snares live in DNB, and you don't want your wide FX to push your snare backwards. Optional. Add corpus for metallic texture, but use it lightly and automate the mix during transitions. Corpus can be sick for dystopian vibes, but it can also take over if you leave it wide open. Then echo, ping pong, with 1/8 or dotted 1/8 if you want more energy. Filter it so it stays behind the drums. Then hybrid reverb. For FX, you can go longer, especially in breakdowns, 4 to 8 seconds decay. Pre-delay 20 to 50 milliseconds. Then utility at the end, with 150 to 200%, bass mono 150 to 250 Hz, and consider pulling the gain down. Again, in the drop, effects are seasoning. Don't let them become the main course unless you want the whole track to feel distant. Now the fun part, session view scene based width. Create 4 scenes. Name them intro wide, drop controlled, break huge, and build widening. Here's the trick that makes session view such a cheat code for mixing. Clip envelopes. We're going to automate width per clip, so each scene has its own stereo personality. On your pad clip, open the envelopes. Choose device, then utility, then width. Now draw different width states. For the intro, you can go wide, 150 to 170%. For the drop, tighten it, 110 to 130%. This is a pro move. A slightly narrower pad in the drop makes the drums and bass feel bigger and more aggressive, because the center is stronger and the sides aren't constantly competing. For the break, go huge, 170 to 200%. This is where you let it breathe. For the build, draw ramp over 8 bars, like 120% up to 180%, so the stereo field literally opens as the tension rises. Now do the same kind of automation for your send levels, especially your wide verb send. In the drop, keep wide verb lower. In the break, turn it up. This is width as arrangement. Drop equals impact and focus. Break equals space and width. Builds equal movement, widening, and filtering. If you want an extra clarity hack, put an EQ8 on the wide verb return and automate a small tip around the snare presence zone, roughly 1.5 to 4 kHz, during the drop. That way the mix can feel huge without the snare losing its crack. Now let's do club safety, mono compatibility. On your master, put a utility at the end of the chain. Map a key or MIDI button to collapse to mono. Depending on your live version, you might have a mono switch. If not, set width to 0% for the check. Now play through your scenes and check. In mono, do the pads and effects still exist? Do they get quieter? That's normal. Do they completely vanish or turn hollow and comb filtered? That's a problem. Listen specifically to the snare. If the snare loses presence when you go mono, you've probably got too much wide reverb or wide effects cluttering that 2 to 5 kHz region. If mono collapses badly, fix it in this order. First, reduce motion. Lower chorus amount and spread. Lower auto pan amount. Second, clean the sides more aggressively. Raise the side high pass in a EQ8M/S. Third, reduce extreme width settings and let the returns provide the illusion of width instead. One more coach concept before we wrap. Think support width, not main width. In a busy DNB drop, your pad should still read as a musical element even if the sides are masked by everything else. A great test is to turn the pad down until it's barely audible. If you still feel space, your wide layer and returns are doing their job. If the pad becomes totally invisible, it was too dependent on sides and wash. And if you want a reality check that's not a vibe killer, drop a meter device and watch phase correlation. If your pad and effects live near zero or go negative constantly, it might sound insane on headphones, but unreliable in a club. Aim for mostly positive, maybe flirting with zero in the biggest moments. Quick practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 4-bar pad loop and a 4-bar FX noise loop in session view. Build the pad chain, utility, EQ8M/S, chorus ensemble, auto pan, utility with bass mono on. Then make 3 scenes, wide intro, tight drop, huge break. Automate utility width and wide verb send per clip. Then mono check on the master. If the pad collapses, reduce chorus first and lean more on reverbs and delays for width. If you want the advanced upgrade, build a simple reusable 3-macro width rig on the pad. 1 macro for width amount, 1 macro for side clean by mapping the EQ8 side high pass frequency, and 1 macro for motion by mapping chorus amount and a tiny echo modulation range. This audio version is shortened for playback.